Yeah, like I'm about to bust something. Man, what's up, man? I'm here. This is Tariq. Glad to have everybody tuning in to Tariq Radio. We are live. Let everybody know that we're live, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to do this. I need y'all to hit that like button. I need you to hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button if you have not done so already. And what we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So I don't want you to move a muscle because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Tune in to the Amiri Brown Show on YouTube, where they discuss all topics intrinsic to the Black experience, from dating and marriage to race, economic, social issues, and politics. Subscribe to the Amiri Brown Show channel and tune in throughout the week. Make Black America great again or die trying.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximum strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have you guys tuning in, man. I hope you guys are having a great week so far. I hope your week is very productive so far, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope that you've accomplished all of your goals, ladies and gentlemen. But we're here, man. There's a lot of stuff we got to talk about. A lot of stuff we got to get into. Now, this week, by the way, guys, we are supposed to be, hopefully, either this week or early next week, hopefully we'll be closing on the museum building out here in Los Angeles. So I'm very excited about that. And we got so much other stuff going on. I'm going to be doing the Revolt Summit next month. That's going to be a biggie. The DC thing, man, I don't think that might pop off. They just are not giving us the permits for the DC thing. The word has come down from the top brass to just kind of give us the runaround as far as giving us the permit to go out there to do our thing in DC. They're playing all types of little phone games and they're just kind of running the clock out. They know that, you know, they run the clock out long enough, we won't have enough time to get everything organized like we need to. So, you know, that one, we're going to have to put that on the back burner. But again, we got the Revolt Summit coming up and that's going to be a good one. And I got a whole bunch of interviews that I'm going to be doing some next week. I got a whole bunch of stuff that I'm doing, but the message is still going to be strong, ladies and gentlemen. We're still going to get our messaging out there because right now it's an election season and they want to silence us. They don't want us making this noise. They gave the word. Somebody from the top brass was like, hey, don't give those Negroes that permit. Give them the runaround as much as you can. Boy, the excuses they're giving us. Now, understand, they can't outright say we can't give you a permit because that's unconstitutional. That violates, you know, the First Amendment. So they're playing, you know, ring around the rosy with, well, you got to call that person. Well, you got to call that person. Well, this person's email is backed up. It's that type of stuff. So we've done everything we could do as far as that. Anyway, hit the like button. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button, family. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe. But the messaging is still going to be strong. We still are going to need tangibles as foundational Black Americans. We're going to need those tangibles, family. The messaging is still there. We're going to need tangibles, preferably in the form of reparations. We're not playing this student loan forgiveness nonsense. We're not playing that game. We don't want student loan forgiveness. We want tangibles specifically for foundational Black Americans. And also, we want these race soldiers punished within law enforcement. You dig? Now, some people were saying, can we meet somewhere else? We're kind of looking into that, too. I really wanted to bring it to D.C. But they understand that D.C. thing would be a monster because it would get international press. They understand that. That's why they are going out of their way to thwart that. And I think that little visit from the FBI was them saying, hey, you know, we're watching you. You know, they're saying something without saying something. Like, hey, man. You know, this whole thing you got going on trying to go to D.C. Hey, we watching you. Yeah, whatever. I'm still doing me. But anyway, let's get into some of the stuff going on. Speaking of the government and this administration, y'all know the other day I was talking about Dennis Rodman going to Russia to help get Brittany Griner out of prison. Now, we've been hearing this narrative, family. Notice how we keep hearing this narrative about what Black men need to do about Brittany Griner. All Black men are just so silent about Brittany Griner. Black men, particularly Black NBA players, they're just not doing enough. They're not saying enough. Where are all the Black NBA players? Remember that narrative they keep running with? Well, our brother Dennis Rodman said, well, hey, I got clout over there. I got some connections. You know, they like me. I can go over there and possibly get her out. I want to go over there and help her out. And man, the Biden administration was like, oh, no, we don't approve of Dennis Rodman doing that. They were like, oh, no, we don't want you doing that. No, Negro, that'll make us look bad as white people if a Black man actually goes over there and pulls it off. Because, see, there's this thing about Black people, Black men being heroes. They hate when we get into hero mode. That's a very bad image. They don't want the image of a Black man coming to save the day. You understand? The image of a Black man going out here saving the day, they don't want that because they had enough of that with Jesse Jackson going overseas, freeing white hostages. I think Muhammad Ali, there was a situation where he helped free some hostages. This whole thing where, you know, we get this international respect to a certain degree and we can go over here and make some power moves. They don't want to show that image. The image of the Black male is supposed to be inept, subservient, bumbling, needy, hiding behind his woman. You know, they never like to show us in the hero mode. And I believe Dennis Rodman could have went over there and got that woman. Really, a Black person can go over there and make some moves and get that popping. Remember when there was a mass shooter down there in Tennessee? Now, whenever there's a shooting or some kind of crime and a white person steps in and they don't even have to thwart it. They can just be there and kind of make some noise about it. They'll make that white person the hero. They love making random white people heroes. The good guy with the gun. They love those stories. Where a white good guy with a gun stopped a crime. Oh, they love that. They love that. They make movies of the week of these random white men who hop in and do some kind of vigilante justice or whatever, or thwart some kind of crime. Well, they make a real big deal out of that. But remember when our brother out there in Tennessee there was an active shooter. There was a white supremacist mass shooter who went into that Waffle House and shot at people and killed a few people. And it was a black man who thwarted that. It was a black man who whooped that white supremacist ass and took his gun. That's a real hero. Boy, they downplayed that brother, and they still do. They act like that brother does not exist. They so reluctantly gave coverage to that brother, and they did it so fast. It was just like a real blip of coverage, and then they just buried it. They never liked talking about that brother who stopped an active mass shooter. Do you know how thorough that is? There's an active mass shooter, and a brother went and stopped it, thwarted it, took the shooter's gun and ran him off. Now, if this was a white man, there would be a city named after him. Tom Cruise would be playing him in a movie right now. He would have all types of book deals. Oh, he would be on Cheerios boxes. James Shaw Jr., that's a real foundational black American hero, and they downplayed that brother. James Shaw, shout out to James Shaw. You know what we need to do, family, FBA family? We need to speak that brother's name and give him the props that he deserves. See, we, as foundational black Americans, we have to start taking the initiative to elevate and signal boost certain messages. We don't have to wait on the dominant society, because they're going to do the white thing. We need to do the right thing. We need to make brothers like that our national heroes and speak that brother's name. We ought to have a holiday about that brother, just like we have a holiday coming up in December, Ratatouille. We're doing our own foundational black American holiday. That's a power move. We don't have to sit around and wait on the white supremacists to create holidays with janky themes before we celebrate them. See, we got to start making power moves, family. Because, see, the name of the game is for them to erase our accomplishments and to erase our culture and to ultimately erase us, to have a soft genocide. See, this is why we have to step up and make the noise we need to make. And that's going to be the theme of today's broadcast. We're talking about digital blackface. Now, if you look at the picture, now some of you have heard about this story. There's this white tech company, and I believe that they're working with the record labels. They created this artificial intelligence character. They created a rapper, and this is one of the white men that's involved with it. They created a rapper, an AI rapper, doesn't exist, it's artificial intelligence, called FN Mika. So this is a artificial intelligence drill rapper, trap rapper, or whatever. He's supposed to be, a light-skinned black person, I think. And it's basically seeped in a lot of stereotypes. These are white people controlling this thing and programming this thing. This is the new form of digital blackface, which is also a form of transhumanism. We've been talking about transhumanism for a minute. What I need, family, I need y'all to retweet this broadcast, by the way. I need everybody to retweet this, put this back on your page, put this on Twitter now. Everybody go to Twitter and retweet the link to this broadcast right now, family, and then hit the like button and the subscribe button while I'm talking. So this FN Mecca character is basically a bunch of stereotypes that a white corporation has created. And they're already, you know, trying to erase and take away our hip hop culture that Foundation of Black Americans created. And they've already tried to tetherize it, meaning give credit to tethers for creating our culture and to remove us out of it. So now they're going to start giving our culture away. They're going to give it away to artificial intelligence. So now this rapper, this AI rapper, actually got signed to Capitol Records. Capitol Records actually signed this artificial intelligent rapper, and they made a big deal about it. This is the first signing of an artificial intelligence rapper. And then people saw that this thing was seeped in so many stereotypes, and a lot of people made noise about it. This artificial intelligent rapper, which is really programmed and voiced by white people, the white people programmed this thing, is running around yelling nigga, nigga, and also it has a an Instagram and a TikTok, and they have some stereotypical stuff on the social media for this AI character. This FN Mecca character, look at this. This is one of their posts where, let me show y'all this filth right here. The character is supposed to be in jail, and a cop is beating the character in jail. And the caption is, "Police brutality, what should I do? This guard keeps beating me with his baton because I won't snitch. I ain't no rat. Life in prison is so depressing. I wish I can get out so I can start making fire music again." These are white people mocking our brutality, family. This is not a good look. I've seen a couple of black folks in the hip hop industry kind of co-sign this. This is not a good look. This is anti-black hatred and blackface. This is blackface, family. The white supremacists, they've always loved to imitate us in a negative way. That was the first form of entertainment in America. Minstrel shows. That was the first American form of entertainment that was uniquely American. A lot of stuff like operas and all that, that came from Europe. But the first uniquely American art form was minstrel shows. When I'm talking about uniquely American, I'm talking about white America. Their art form was minstrel shows, where they would dress up like black people and act a fool and act like buffoons. That was their culture, to mock the existence that they created for us, to mock the economic and systematic deprivation that they created. They put us in a dilapidated state and then mocked us in that state. Just like with the hobo clown in the circus. In circuses, they would have a hobo clown character, and that was based on black freedmen being poor and destitute, having to travel around the world, well, around the country on trains, because they did not have any money or employment or places to live. So they would mock that in circuses, the hobo clown. And going into the 20th century, they had people like Al Jolson, who would put on blackface and sing Mammy, who became a, he became a massive superstar. And then what the white supremacists would do, they would have these radio shows, because radio became big before television. And on radio, some of the most popular shows were things like Amos and Andy, where it was a couple of white people imitating ignorant black people. It was a couple of white people doing radio blackface. They would imitate black people, and white society ate that up. They loved that. And then when they started making movies, they got tethers. They got tethers like Step and Fetch It, who's Caribbean. Step and Fetch It, and I always have to remind people, Step and Fetch It is not a foundation of black American. That Sambo was Caribbean. And they got him to get on TV and act a damn fool to misrepresent foundational black Americans by getting on TV acting a damn fool. He was off code. Foundational black Americans would call him out for that buffoonish portrayal because he didn't care. He was from another place, so he was just getting his money. And then they started doing it in cartoons. In those Disney cartoons, they would have those Sambo Crows singing Negro dialect songs. And Walt Disney was a major white supremacist himself, and I've talked about him before. But in the cartoons, they would mock us and create minstrels of us. A lot of folks don't understand, the first Elmer Fudd was a black man. It was based on like a Step and Fetch It type of character. They changed him into a white guy because they understood that that original Step and Fetch It was way too offensive. And I always talk about those Warner Brothers cartoons and those other cartoons back in the day. If you look at the characters who would be harmed all the time, it would always be the darker characters who would get shot or get blown up all the time. Like Wile E. Coyote, he was a brown character and he would always get blown up. He would fall off a cliff. All of these violent things would happen to the dark characters that never happened to the lighter characters. I picked up on that as a kid. Daffy Duck, if you remember, Daffy Duck would always get shot in the face. His beak would get shot off. Daffy Duck was black. The character, he was black skin. Something would always happen to him. He would always get shot, or just something weird or violent would happen to him. That never happened to Bugs Bunny. He never got shot in the face. Remember Sylvester the cat? He was black skinned. He would always get shot or skinned, or some weird thing happened to him. That was a big theme there. Something weird would always happen to the dark characters. You see? So there's always been this minstrel type of vibe when it came to portraying us. So they would always like to portray the mammy character. And back in the Jim Crow times, we would complain about that. We would say, no, that's not going to fly. We as black folks are not going to stand by and let you create mammies and sambos and portray that like it's normal. For a while, they were trying to get mammy monuments all over the country. We talked about that in one of the Hidden Colors films. They were trying to get mammy monuments. The big, fat black woman statue. They were trying to get these up, and it was black organizations saying, no, we're not going to allow that. It was black people calling that out. So they've always liked to portray these stereotypical mammy sambo buffoonish images of us. So now when you fast forward, look at the music industry now, and I talked about this the other day. People were talking about, why is R&B so different? Well, it's so different because you don't have the soul there, and that's by design. They had to take the soul out of our music so that they can get us used to soulless entertainment. When you listen to the radio, listen, who do you see? Who do you hear on the radio? You hear people like the Doja Cats and all of these really non-FBA people. A lot of non-FBA people are on the radio, so-called singing R&B. And these people, they're not rooted in FBA lineage, which is basically rooted in gospel lineage. A lot of the older singers, they came out of the black church, out of the foundational black American church. So there was a ground, there was a root there. There was a base. They came from that FBA gospel base. And you can hear that. There was a soul in what they were doing. When they would sing, there was a soul in it. So you don't have that now. You don't have people coming from that root. You have people singing from their throats, or people just using auto-tune, but you don't have people singing from that soul bass, that gospel bass no more. I was in Hawaii a few weeks ago. I mean, literally every song, I won't even say every other song, was damn Doja Cat. This was an R&B station, and it was Doja Cat or somebody featuring Doja Cat. It was a real weird thing, putting these people on the radio doing this soulless R&B. And when you listen to R&B now, it's either a non-FBA person, or it's a white person, or just a non-black person doing R&B. You know, the soul is being taken out of it. The soul is out of it. Yeah? Because with the soul, you're not feeling it. You're listening to it, but you're not feeling it. See, we felt Aretha Franklin, family. We felt Luther, you see. When a musician, a singer touches your soul, you rock with that person. And you got somebody that you're going to support. I'm going to support this person. This person resonates with my soul. And black artists who were FBA, a lot of them, they were touching the souls of the audience. And the audience would rock with them. And these black artists would understand, we don't really need the white execs like we think we need them. And I got my audience. I touch their soul and they rock with me. So I don't really need these white execs. You had people like Sam Cooke thinking like that. Soul singer, touching the soul of the audience. He had a strong grassroots following. And this brother was doing his own thing. He was getting his own label going. And then he mysteriously got killed. You understand what I'm saying? So you had a lot of these black artist who resonated with the black masses. James Brown resonated with the black masses. James Brown owned everything he did. James Brown understood ownership. See, they don't like to tell that part of our brother James Brown. They don't like to tell that part where James Brown would own radio stations, owned his own recording studio, owned his own jet. James Brown even owned his own pressing plant at one point, you see? But yeah, they don't want these artists that will really touch your soul because you can rock with them forever. Like Frankie Beverly. Frankie Beverly, that brother has never won a Grammy, but Frankie Beverly can tour anywhere, anytime, and sell out a place. He touches your soul. That's a power move. When the industry can't really starve you out like that, you can still hit the streets. Our good brother Prince, the industry tried to be janky with him. Prince, he touched the soul of the audience. That's why Prince, up until his death, he could tour anytime he wanted to and sell out every single show. Anytime he wanted to without a current record on the radio. You see? You understand? Touching that soul. Shout out to Ronald Isley. Ronald Isley, that brother, and they put him in jail over some BS a few years ago. Remember, they had to punish our brother for being so successful. Ronald Isley is one of the only artists that has had number one hits in like 5 decades. That man has been making number one hit records since the 1950s. Really, no other artist has really done that. That brother has been hitting the top of the charts since the 1950s. Him and the Isley brothers. You dig? So going back to the soul, they had to take the soul out of the music and get us used to not feeling the music, but just hearing it. We're hearing the music, we ain't feeling it. And then they put these stereotypes up and act like it's progressive. For example, Lizzo. And I don't want to seem like I'm beating up on that sister. I think she's talented. I'm not taking away from Lizzo. But Lizzo is something that white society likes. That's a mammy caricature. They love putting her on fashion magazines and all of this stuff, her naked. They love parading her around naked. That's mammyism. I talk about that in my book, Foundation of Black American Race Baiter. They parade her around like the Venus Hottentot as almost a sexual oddity. We better understand when these white supremacists are parading us around to insult us. So now, see, the white supremacists, they like to do stuff, engage in stereotypes without looking like they're doing it. See, when they tried to do that back in the day, we caught it and called them out. But now, see, they want to do the same thing. They have to refine it. So now they want to have a mammy figure that they parade around, but they have to flip it and make it seem like it's for body positivity. We're just trying to show how black women and women can just they can love themselves no matter what size they are. So this is we're promoting Lizzo naked and twerking that flat ass all over the place because we want to promote body positivity. Yeah, that's what it is. Wink, wink. They're mocking her, just like that white woman hopped on TV the other day. Remember, somebody flashed a picture of Lizzo and the white woman said, "Who is that, Precious?" White people get a real kick out of that stuff. So now fast forward to this AI rapper. This AI rapper is engaging in stereotypes. And it got signed to Capitol Records and people were calling this thing out. And here's the article here. Capitol Records walk away from AR rapper project offers deepest apologies to the black community. Yeah, right, Capitol. Capitol Records has announced that it's walking away from an artificial intelligence rapper project after receiving backlash for the AI model's gross stereotypes of the black community. CMG, Capitol Music Group, has severed ties with the FM Mecca project effective immediately. We offer our deepest apologies to the black community for our insensitivity in signing this project without asking enough questions about equity and the creative process behind it. All right. So here they're talking about FM Mecca is a virtual rapper powered by AI, first created by Factory New in 2019. According to the New York Times, the rapper has amassed more than 10,000 followers on TikTok. But listen, I think this family, I think this is a creation of the music industry. See, they're trying to keep their hands clean by putting it on this random, this other tech group. No, this was a collaboration. This is something that was planned with the music industry, okay? This was planned with the music industry. And let me show some images of FM Mecca. Hold on, let me see if I can find a couple of clips of the FM Mecca. All right, let me show a couple of clips of it. I'm not going to play the audio. I'll show a couple of clips of the FN Mecca character. All right, this is the character with a Gucci car, a car with Gucci, and it's doing the moonwalk. So basically, this is like almost a crypto Tekashi or something. All right, here's another. This is another one of the thing performing, jumping around. Hold on, where is it? Okay. All right, this is another thing of FN Mecca. Oh, where is it? Where you at? Hold on, let me restart that. Hold on 1 second. So this is the thing jumping around on stage. All right, that's FN Mecca, the robot, the artificial intelligence rapper. Okay. So, you know, they've been playing around with this stuff, even with the holograms and all of it. They've been playing around with this thing. Again, this is why they got to take the soul out of it. They got to get you used to this. They got to get you used to this soulless entity that's controlled by the record industry. So now they got this. And trust and believe, they're coming back. They're going to bring them back. They're going to bring something else back. Okay, they're going to refine it. They had to test the waters with it. They saw that people weren't really feeling it. You know, so they're going to come back with something. They're going to refine this thing. They're going to refine this filth. OK, just be very clear. They're going to refine it. And they're going to come back. They want to get black artists where they can control literally everything about them. If you get an artificial intelligent rapper, you don't have to pay it no royalties. You don't have to worry about this entity going independent and starting its own thing. This is something that you can blow up and capitalize and you completely own. You can completely own it. And also, you don't have to worry about having to get it killed so that you can get the royalties, because we see a lot of these rappers with the same label get killed. I won't even go into that. You got a lot of rappers who's with the same label and damn near everybody on the label gets killed. So now you don't have to worry about the rapper getting killed and or you having to have it killed in order to get the royalties. You don't have to worry about setting it up to go to jail or anything like that. You can have it be as stereotypical and as Samboish as possible. And because it's not really a real entity, you can go to town with it. You dig? Real talk. Somebody in the chat room made a good observation. Next time, let me tell you something. Next time, they're going to, you know what they'll probably do? They'll probably put out a rapper who you think is human, but it's really an artificial intelligent robot. And then, let me tell you what, they're going to do what they did with Lil Nas X. What they did, they put Lil Nas X out there, made sure he had a hot record, had a number one record, made sure the record was hot, and when the record got hot and everybody was supporting the record, and they were like, hey, by the way, this guy's gay. And if you don't support him, that means you're homophobic. So they're going to do the same thing with an AI rapper. They're going to sit up here and put somebody out here, get somebody with some hot records, get a lot of support, and then they're going to come out later and say, hey, by the way, this isn't even a real person. Wow. And you've already supported it. So I wouldn't be shocked if they had that right now. I wouldn't be shocked if they had that right now. They got some mushmouth rapper out here who's not even real. I wouldn't be surprised if they have it right now. But this goes into that transhumanism thing, fam. That transhumanism thing is very real. And what they're trying to do now, they're trying to clean up the whole racism thing with this FM Mecca thing by talking about one of the first people who voiced the AI thing. It was a rapper named Kyle the Hooligan who initially voiced it a couple of years ago. But let's be clear, this Kyle the Hooligan guy, he's not controlling the voice of it now. So the Kyle the Hooligan guy, and by the way, the Kyle the Hooligan guy, he's actually Trinidadian. This is his page right here. Kyle the Hooligan. He's a Trinidadian dude. You see the Trinidadian flag right there. So this Kyle the Hooligan dude, this is him talking about how he thought he was going to get equity in this deal with the AI thing. Listen to this. This is very interesting that what he's talking about. Listen to this. Hold on. Hold on.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle the Hooligan. So I know y'all probably been hearing about this FM Mecca stuff. People have been DMing me, like, and I try to keep it quiet because I was going to really wait till this shit blew up for real and then, like, went after them because basically it was like they came to me with this AI shit and was like, would I want to be the voice of it? And I thought it was going to be, like, some collaboration. They promised me equity into the company, percentages, all this stuff, so I'm thinking, like, okay, there's about to be some collab, something different for me, so I could do my music and be on some AI stuff with this FM Mecca character. So everything's going good. Next thing I know, niggas just ghosted me, like, use my voice, use my sound, use the culture, and literally just left me high and dry. I ain't get a dime off of nothing.
So yeah, they're already screwing people with this thing, all right? So they're already screwing people with the damn robot. They're already finessing people with this thing, fam. Lord. So this is what I'm talking about. They're going to use this to screw more black artists, you know, instead of paying a black artist. Hey, we got a robot who can do, who can jump around and sing auto too. See, they're getting us used to mushmouth rap. And they're like, you know, ain't no soul in the mushmouth rap. So they're like, hey, we can get a robot to do mushmouth, which is, they can. They can do that. They can get a robot to do the mushmouth rap. Yeah? It's a very interesting dynamic, family. But we have to understand, you know, these people, the digital blackface is real. They want to be able to have a black entity that they can control, just like slavery. You know, they like to have an image of us that they can control, where an AI nigga is not going to fight back. He's not going to sue him. He's not going to wise up and go independent. He's not going to fight for his royalties. His children are not going to come try to sue the label for back royalties. You see, there's a lot of benefits for them having an AI rapper doing our foundation of black American music. You dig? There's a lot of incentives for this. So we better keep our eye on this, family. We better keep our eye on it. And this is why they keep promoting this soulless music to us. They don't want the music to have no damn soul. You dig? And speaking of wiggers, I saw a video of some of these Malibu Most Wanted white boys. And I almost thought this was a skit at first, but it's actually not a skit. These white boys, I don't know what city this, and I don't know if this is in New Orleans, but these white boys who live in the hood, they're some twins. And they're sitting up talking about why they can say nigga. And the white boy said something very interesting about he has white privilege. I want y'all to hear this. Hold on, listen to this. This is very interesting. These are two Malibu Most Wanted white boys, and this is actually real. I thought it was a skit at first, but it's not a skit. These guys are actually a thing. And listen to these guys here. Hold on 1 second. Listen to these guys. Hold on.
We ain't just trying to say nigga. It's just in our vocabulary.
That's in my vocabulary. I don't even. Birds of a feather flock together.
I'm not white.
Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, I am white, but I feel like I'm just like, you know, it's just regular. Like, I don't know.
What else I'm gonna say?
Everybody say I'm not white, but I know I'm white. And then, feel me? I'm glad I'm white.
Yeah, we got the best of both worlds, bitch. We just got the best. Feel me? I use this white privilege too, bitch. Don't get it wrong, ho.
I say that shit on accident.
Yeah, we got the best of both worlds, bitch. Feel me? I use this white privilege too, bitch. Don't get it wrong, ho.
I'm glad I'm white.
Yeah, we got the best of both worlds, bitch. Feel me? I use this white privilege too, bitch. Don't get it wrong, ho.
I say that shit on accident. That's just how I say it. Like, I don't even realize when I say it. It's just regular, like, it's just my nigga right here.
That's like saying what's up to my brother. That's what it is. Like, it's
anyone ever get mad at you for saying
that? Yeah, they do anyway. And we checked their ass out.
They got on them.
What?
They got on them, no, nigga.
We ain't just trying.
Lord, black folks, boy, y'all be letting all types of stuff go on. Lord. But I had to replay that part where he says, yeah, you know, I got white privilege and I be using that. We got the best of both worlds. He said, we got the best of both worlds. They're from the Bay. Oh, Lord. Somebody said they're not from the Bay. Where are they from? I don't know where they're from. Somebody said, I don't know where these weird dudes are from. But that whole, we got white privilege and I use it too. Y'all better catch on to that. That means when he gets into an interrogation room, let me tell y'all what that means. Oh, my bad. I'm talking. Okay, my bad. I always do that. I always click back on and there's no sound. My bad, guys. I'm here. I'm sorry. I always do that. But yeah, with those guys, the part where he was talking about, yeah, I got white privilege, and I be using that shit, ho. He be using his white privilege. I don't know where they're from. Somebody said, I don't know if they're from the Bay. I don't know where they're from. I don't know where these guys are from. But when he said that he got white privilege, yeah, I'm white, and I like being white. When he gets white privilege, he got white privilege. So let me tell you what that means. That means when he gets into an interrogation room, he uses his white privilege. He goes out here and does all that niggerish nonsense. But when he gets into an interrogation room, I don't want to do crime, dude. I don't want a gangbang. I want to be a white boy like me and you. That's what he does. Everybody in the chat room is denying where they're from because don't nobody want to own them. So they're like, they ain't from New Orleans. They ain't from the Bay. Oh, they ain't from Florida. Somebody better own up to them dudes. Oh, they ain't from no damn jungle. They are not from no jungle. Hell no. Y'all better own up to those dudes. Own up to them. But yeah, they get in them interrogation rooms and it's like, I just want to be a white boy. I don't gangbang, dude. I'm a Boy Scout. Oh, Lord. Y'all better watch out for these folks, man. Watch out for them. Watch out for these people. Speaking of people to watch out for, old Fonnie Willis out there in Atlanta. That case, remember that case about the cops who were involved with killing that brother outside of the Wendy's? And I kept telling people, hey, man, Fonnie the mommy, y'all don't let her get elected. Y'all better elect Paul Howard, man. I was begging people, hey, y'all keep Paul Howard in office. So Fonnie Willis went up there and fumbled the bag, fumbled the deal and gave it, tossed it to a special prosecutor who she knew would throw the case. And basically, they said that they're not going to file charges on those race soldiers. So that case is thrown out. The race soldiers can walk. They can get back on the force and they can get back to killing more black people. Y'all better thank yourselves out there, Atlanta, where you at? See, that could have been a power move. Niggas got scared of power. That could have been a power move. We got to stop being afraid of power. It was the people who dropped the ball on that one. It was the masses who dropped the ball on that. All you had to do was support Paul Howard, who had charges on them race soldiers. You just should have kept supporting him. That would have been a power move. If you kept him in office, the pressure would have been on, and that would have set a massive precedent for the black masses to punish these race soldiers, and black folks down there dropped the damn ball, man. That was on the community. Them race soldiers could have been punished. Letting Fonnie Willis get up in there to fumble that damn case, that was on the people. The people allowed that to happen. Y'all better stop doing that stuff and stop being afraid of power. Niggas got afraid of power. You had an opportunity to make a power move and folks got cold feet. We got to stop being afraid of flexing power. We've been told so long that it's okay to be powerless. In being powerless, there's some kind of moral value to it. We have some kind of moral one-upmanship on everybody because of our powerlessness. Get that out of your damn system. we better start flexing power. We better start getting used to power and not being afraid of power. That's a real bad habit that a lot of us have, this thing where we're afraid of power moves. That's why whenever a black person starts making a power move, especially financially, you get a whole bunch of scared niggas sitting around here. What you doing all that money? Ooh, what you going to do with all that money? You got all that money. How you get all that money? You start projecting your Sambo stereotypes on the person, and you start projecting your insecurities so you can sabotage that person. Let's get off that. Let's stop being afraid of power. Let's stop being afraid of power. That woman, Fonnie Willis, got up there and protected them race soldiers, and now she's throwing RICO charges on Negroes left and right out there. Come on, man. Y'all could have stopped that. Y'all could have stopped that easily. Let's stop twerking for 5 minutes and stop booty popping dudes in Atlanta and make a power move. Damn. Yeah, watch out for Stacey Abrams. We got to get some straightening going on out here. We got to watch what's going on out here, family. And we better watch when we have people who do not have our best interests. We were going back and forth on Twitter with this one dude up there in New York. I'm not going to give this Negro no shine, but he was arguing back and forth about all the stuff he's doing for kids. And this Negro sounds kind of mentally ill, but he was running around here talking about they got a gun buyback program in New York. Yeah, we got a gun buyback. We're trying to save the kids. We got a gun buyback program. We got a gun buyback program. And everybody knows those gun buyback programs are nothing but finesse games where they set you up to go ahead and bring guns in so they can run ballistics on them and solve these cases. And this gun buyback program, this dude has had a janky twist to it. Well, what we doing with the gun buyback, you bring in the gun and you can bring your gun in anonymously. You don't have to get no name. You could just scan a QR code and you can turn the gun in. You ain't got to let them know nothing. And in exchange for turning in your gun, you're going to get a free scholarship to go to school to learn. I'm like, what? That don't make no damn sense. This is what they got in New York right now. Talking about they got a scholarships for guns program. And you could bring your gun in anonymously and you're going to get a scholarship. That don't make no damn sense. Just think about that for 5 seconds. You don't get a scholarship anonymously. If you're going to get a scholarship, you got to give your name and your information. You're not going to get an anonymous scholarship. I swear to God, this fool was all on Twitter talking this nonsense. He be all up in the damn Twitter spaces talking this nonsense. That ain't nothing but a finesse game to get people in the damn system. Tell me, you're going to get a scholarship. You got to give not only your information, they're going to do a background check on you if you're going to get a scholarship for college or school. Come on, dude. We got to watch out for these con games. I told people about those gun buyback programs, that those are finesse games like a mug. Those are major finesse games. The cops who allow the guns to go on the streets, remember, they allow the guns to hit the streets, and then they come around at the end of the year like they're doing you a favor, usually around school season or holiday season when people need some money, all right? They usually come around when summer is over. Let me tell y'all the finesse. They usually do these gun buybacks right around this time, right when school is starting, people need money for school, or they'll do it right around the holidays where people need money for presents and holiday gifts and all that. They come around, oh, we're in the good spirit of the holiday. Man, we want to clean up the streets, and they get some mushmouth Sambo black person to act as the spokesperson. We want to help these kids. The babies need our help. Up with sweets, down with the streets. Turn in your gun for fun. We need to save the babies. We got to get these babies together. Now, y'all bring y'all gun in. We need to start chilling and stop the killing. Bring your gun in for some money. Get you some money. You don't have to tell them who you are. Just come on in here and turn that gun in and get you these $200. Turn in your gun and get you some Air Jordans. They play that game. They tell you can come on in and give your gun anonymously. You don't have to give a name. And then you go in there and get some nigga trinkets. And then what happens is they get that gun and they do all types of ballistics on it and see all the bodies that were caught on that gun. And they know who brought it in. Yeah, you can wipe that gun down all you want, but they track everybody who goes to bring the gun in. They're tracking you. They have the gun buyback at a very specific location where the cameras are all over the place. They watch you come, and then they can track every movement of you leaving. They can track your dumb ass leaving. They know exactly who you are. They got street cameras and city cameras that can track you all the way to your house. They know who you are. They're going to track your car or whatever. And then about a month later, after they done ballistics on it and then found out who you're connected with and see people who are close to you, about a month later, they come and arrest everybody in the damn hood. They do ballistics on those damn guns. They don't get those guns for nothing. Stop it. They're coming to get you right after you spend that little $200. Oh, they're coming to get you and everybody on the block. So just understand that. But speaking of gun, boy, did y'all see that case out there in Atlanta? Speaking of Atlanta, that Cameroonian chick, was a chick out there, Cameroonian chick, who did a mass shooting. She shot like three people out there. This chick right here. I think she shot some people who she was working with. This chick right here, she's from Cameroon. She's an immigrant. She got frustrated because of something and went in and just started capping. Well, we got to watch out for some of these folks, man. Let me say this. And I posted something on my Twitter. Now, y'all, I don't rock with Clubhouse, the Clubhouse app. Clubhouse is just a very whack app. And it's just the headquarters for nigga babble. There's a lot of babbling on there. Nothing constructive. But it's getting real dangerous on Clubhouse. Some of the rhetoric, man. Some of these anti-FBA tethers, boy, they are all on Clubhouse literally talking about shooting us. They're talking about taking up arms against black Americans. They're talking about just taking up arms against us because there's been a couple of cases on the East Coast where a couple of cab drivers and Uber drivers, they got robbed. So now the tethers are like, it is these FBA niggas who robbing us. We need to get guns against those niggas. They're talking about getting guns against us because a couple of them got robbed on the East Coast. And I think in Queens, a Ghanaian cab driver got killed. Somebody hit him and I think he died. And they were saying, it's these FBA niggas. The FBA niggas are doing this to us. And from what I understand, the people involved in that were Caribbean. Yeah, so the tethers are trying to blame immigrant on immigrant crimes on us. No, you don't. You're not going to blame no immigrant on immigrant crime on us. From what I understand, the people involved in that situation in New York against that damn Uber driver or cab driver, whoever, the Ghanaian brother who died, unfortunately, that's sad. But that's immigrant on immigrant. That ain't got nothing to do with FBA. But they were on Clubhouse the other day talking about taking up arms against us. Let me play some of this filth, man. Now, we don't talk like this. Foundational Black Americans ain't talking about taking up arms against black immigrants or any other group like that. These people are sounding insane. But listen to this stuff here. Listen to this, man. Hold on 1 second. Wait a minute. Let me turn this up. Hold on. Listen to these people. Wait. Where am I? All right, hold on. Listen to this. Hold on.
Africans need protection from black Americans, okay? I was not in the room, I just got back, but I'm not hearing this topic. This is, right, let's talk about that, okay? If you want to talk about this topic, who's next?
Can I share some stats about what happened to some Africans here in DC?
Is that the topic, Alex?
Yeah, because I actually agree with the topic, right? Because there are three African Uber drivers who were killed in the last month by niggas in the hood.
All right, go ahead and tell us that. We want to know about the niggas and the killing Africans. Thank you.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to post the links in the chat, man. Wait, I mean, yeah, or you can Google it, you know what I'm saying? African Uber driver killed in D.C. or PG County. So what they're doing out here is they are targeting Africans now. They are calling Uber, requesting something, a ride or whatever, or food. When they see the face and the name of the driver, they lure them in, the guy drops the food off, and they drive down the street a little bit and get robbed and killed. And they're doing this strictly, you know, out of hate. All because this whole, you know, like, bullshit, man, it's starting to reach the streets now.
Wow. So are you telling us we need to get guns too so we can fight those hood niggas?
Hell yeah. Niggas gotta go, period, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's getting real, man. Like, you guys gonna have to, you know, push Congress or something, you know? It's getting real out here, man.
My African brothers and sisters, can you hear this? Please get you your guns, Nigerians, get your guns for me. Whatever state you are in, the hood. The gangsters and the gang members are trying to take us out. So please get you your guns and don't play. This is not funny. You heard the Black American man just told us what's going on.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, man. So they're talking crazy. They're talking crazy, dude. We don't talk like that. We don't talk about getting guns and shooting them for all the shit that they be doing, all the crimes and scams. We don't say, hey, let's get the guns and let's start picking off the tether. We don't talk like that. We don't talk like that at all. And there's another clip of this dude talking about getting his gun and listen to how his gun is going to sound. Listen to this. I mean, they be going, doubling down on this stuff. Listen, hold on.
Do that, bro.
And I mean this shit with all due respect, dog. When we get to that war, when that war comes and it's us against them, my fucking AK is going to go, akata-kata, akata-kata. That's when my shit going to ring out.
Stop making you got to chill, man. Put that gun down, man.
Please stop making the sound.
Okay, yeah, so his gun is going to go akata kata, akata kata. So this is what they be talking about on Clubhouse. Yeah, and we're xenophobic because we're trying to get reparations for ourselves. We're xenophobic, and they're talking about killing akata kata, akata kata. Man, please. Man, let me say this. Some of y'all, and I'm not talking about the riders that we have, I'm not talking about the riders that we have who are cool in the game. You dig? I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the tether class. I'm talking about the tether class. Let me let y'all know something. Let me tell you something. If y'all try to run up on somebody with that BS, let me tell you something. Let me keep it 200. Let me keep it a buck. If one of these dudes roll up on me looking like this, if y'all roll up on me looking like this, I'm gonna slap your forehead. I'm gonna slap your forehead and kick the must off you. Don't even play that game. If one of these big forehead, eel mouth niggas run up on me with the bullshit, boy, I'ma kick your rib cage loose. Don't play games. Y'all don't get on these apps bigging each other up and pumping each other up and putting batteries in each other's back just so you can get stomped out. Y'all better chill with all that crazy talk. Y'all better chill. I will slap the injera off one of these dudes. Y'all better, if they try to run up with the rah-rah, y'all better chill. Come on. Y'all stop talking crazy on these apps about foundational Black Americans. Y'all cut it out, man. Cut that out. That's not a good look. Talking greasy about us. Anyway, man, let me get up out of here. Let me get up out of here, dude. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio, man. Much respect for everybody, to everybody for tuning in. I need you guys to go to officialfba.com to get all your FBA items, to get the book, Foundation of Black American Race Baiter. Ladies and gentlemen, very good book if you don't have it. Go to Hidden Colors Film to get Hidden Colors 1 through 5. And get the Buck Breaking DVD. And the Buck Breaking movie is still hurting these white supremacist feelings. The Buck Breaking movie is, these white supremacists are still butthurt, pun intended, over the movie Buck Breaking. That movie really hurt their soul because it exposed their culture. They're still mad about that movie. Get that movie, buckbreakingmovie.com. Anyway, man, y'all have a great evening and a great week. Papi Akute and Lola Vuve to the family. Peace.